Evidently, we have a caller on the air, Emma.
Okay.
So she should be coming on in just a minute. We've had some mechanical difficulties tonight on air. So, Esther, are you there?
Yes.
Did you have a question?
Yes, I have a question. I have a couple of male callers, and I don't know, they don't give me good vibes, and I'm just wondering if you see anything wicked there.
Oh, honey, we're not giving spiritual readings on the radio. That's not our purpose here. We're trying to talk about John of God, the spiritual healer. So I think you've misunderstood our purpose.
Oh, I thought the psychic.
Oh no, she's not a psychic. She's
Monique.
She's an author and a transpersonal psychologist, and she's not doing any kind of readings or anything.
Oh, sorry. It just I thought Monique was going to be on air.
No, no. You must be getting the shows mixed up. I'm sorry. We can't help you with that one. All right. Emma, we interrupted you. You were talking about John having requested that you have some surgery.
Yes.
On your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he actually remove some sort of blockages, or was it more of an emotional kind of surgery?
Well, what it felt like to me when it was happening, and this was not physical surgery, it was what we called psychic surgery. But when it was, when I was in the process of having it done at the Casa in Brazil, it literally seemed like there were small hands inside my heart. And I wouldn't say it was physical blockages that any of our monitoring or diagnostic equipment would pick up, but some subtle energy blockages left over from hurts from the past in my life.
I see.
It might have led to heart problems later on in life.
Oh, it probably would have. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. So what happened after that? And how long did you stay the first time you went?
I stayed for about 6 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And how many healings did you have during that time?
I just had one at that time, meaning one that was a formal surgery. But it's an extremely unusual place there. And this may sound very odd to the people listening, but surgeries can happen at any time. They can happen when a person's meditating, when they're sleeping, when they're just simply walking around in the area. And I've literally spoken to people who had like a spontaneous bleed where they had not run into anything or not punctured themselves in any way, and they started bleeding a little bit. Or they would be meditating and open their eyes after a little while, and it looks as if a scar was on, let's say, their hand or some part of their body. So it's...
So this occurs like in the garden or in their hotel room or wherever they might be.
Yes, and it has even occurred to people when they're on their way traveling to visit John of God, or when they return home after being with John of God. But I wouldn't say that it's John of God personally who's doing it, because the place where John of God works, the sanctuary called the Casa Dominacio, is an extremely unusual place, and I think it's best to call it a portal. In other words, it's an area where benevolent spirits can be more accessible to people, and these benevolent spirits literally want to help with healing.
Well, now, explain how John goes into a trance and how these spirits come through him.
Well, I'm not quite what I can say about how he goes into a trance, but he seems to be able to do it quite deliberately. I've seen him go into the trance, and he usually holds someone's hand and closes his eyes, and then a shudder will go through his body. And when he opens his eyes, it's clearly like a different presence is there. It doesn't take much time at all. It takes just a few seconds. And when he come, when it, his work is done at the end of the morning or at the end of the day, again, he'll hold on to the hand of a friend, someone that he feels closely aligned with, and bring himself out of the trance.
Interesting that he would hold someone else's hand.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that might be an interfering energy, you know, to hold someone else's hand. That's very interesting.
It is. It is.
Well, can you describe some of the surgeries that you've personally witnessed?
I've witnessed many, and been very close up. Two of the surgeries that he's most well known for, because he does them frequently, one, he scrapes the surface of the eye physically with a kitchen knife. And it usually makes people squirm to even think about it. And I must say, the first time I saw it, I had to hold myself back from jumping up, you know, and because I had a visceral response, like he must be causing this person tremendous pain. But if you take a split second to stop yourself and to look, you can see that the people he's working on are not at all in pain. They look completely relaxed. So one of the most amazing things to watch is that there's a kind of spiritual anesthesia that comes over people, so they can speak and they can communicate very lucidly, but they aren't feeling physical pain, and there's very little bleeding. Of course, with the eye, you wouldn't expect the same kind of bleeding as you would when he penetrates into the body with a knife, because he's just scraping the surface of the eye. But there are other surgeries I've seen where he does a hernia operation, or I watched him take out a benign tumor that was about 5 pounds in weight that someone had been carrying around in their upper abdomen for about 20 years. And I was literally standing right next to her. She was one of the people that I was guiding. And John of God had asked for her specifically to come up to him at a certain time. He never does surgery unless someone is willing and wants it. But in this case, the woman was very willing, and she literally sat down in front of him at his, he guided her to the chair. And while she was sitting in front of him, she started having the spiritual anesthesia came over her, so she wasn't feeling pain. And he literally opened up her abdomen with a scalpel and began taking out this very large tumor. And it was her first day being at the Casa. And I'm kind of laughing now, because the woman had never left the United States. And she traveled from Montana all the way down to Brazil. And her first day at the Casa, this extraordinary experience happened. But she seemed completely at peace. And I stood next to her, touching her actually, and talking to her a little bit and asking her how she was doing. She was absolutely fine. And I was stunned by the amount of material that was coming out of her. And the operation lasted about 20 minutes. I've also seen him do ovarian surgery while someone is standing up, eyes open, completely lucid, talking, if need be. And the second surgery he's most well known for is a surgery in which he actually inserts a part of something we call a special kind of scissors that's used in operating rooms, and he inserts it up the nose, and it goes, penetrates quite a distance, and if you see that surgery, you think, my God, this person's going to have, the scissors are going to penetrate into the brain, and it's going to lobotomize the person, or it's going to possibly kill them on the spot.
And what is he doing? I've seen pictures, I've seen videos of that operation several times. Is he going up to the, what part of the brain is he directing his scissors, and what are the results of that particular surgery? Because that was, one of my friends here in Atlanta actually had that done to her. And I was curious as to what it does to the rest of the body, because my understanding is that when he does surgery, he may operate on one part of the body that's totally apart from the part of the body that's being affected.
Yes, that's right. But if we think about acupuncture, we've learned from the Chinese tradition that you can stimulate various parts of the ear but affect organs of the body all over the body. And in a similar way, John of God might operate by scraping the eye or doing what we playfully call the nose job, which is this horrifying-looking surgery up the nose. But it actually can be affecting whole systems of the body or a certain part of the body that's very distant from the area that he's actually doing the physical operation on.
Has he ever explained what that particular surgery does?
No.
He hasn't. I would be curious to know that.
Well, many people are. And I interviewed a man who's actually a teacher at Harvard Medical School. And he had been down observing surgeries. And I'd interviewed him for a film I'm doing. And his name is Jeff Rediger, by the way. And Jeff was speaking about this, and again, he said it's a mystery. You know, I've spoken to several doctors who've been very close watching the surgery. A dentist said, "Well, he's cleaning out the sinuses," but other people have said that's absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
And what comes to me, having watched it many, many times over, is that the surgery he's actually doing is on the energy body. And my guess is that the surgical tool, which is made out of metal, which he picks up and inserts into the nose, actually turns into energy shortly after it disappears up the nose.
That makes sense.
And then thus what's going on is that the energy is being directed into the brain in a laser-like fashion and possibly, I would think, to the pituitary or pineal glands.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, pituitary or where is the pineal is right in the center of the brain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking he was affecting in some way. Well, how many times have you been down there, Emma?
I've been down 22 times.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I've been doing research not only at the CASA because of the book that I wrote about John of God and his sanctuary, but I've also been doing research in other spiritist centers. So what I usually do is go down with a group and be a guide for them at the CASA and then do research in other centers.
Now, you've learned to speak Portuguese, haven't you?
Well, I'm certainly far from fluent, but I'm quite good at translating and speak basic Portuguese.
I see. Well, now, can you explain how it's possible that the spirits speak through John? My understanding is there's 25 or 35 or 40 different doctors that come through him to do the healing.
Well, what has been written and what is generally spoken about is that there are approximately 33 either physicians or theologians or
psychologists, I've even heard.
A psychologist, but also people who are very elevated in terms of their consciousness who can come through him and manifest through him, take over his body and use it for healing other people.
How does anybody understand, I mean, when you've written Kardec Spiritism,
mm-hmm.
and you might explain to people who Kardec was and something about this whole phenomenon of Brazilian Spiritism that kind of, it's interesting to me that it only developed in that one part of South America. I mean, things in different parts of South America, but it's not quite the same kind of spiritism that's practiced by John.
Well, this is a very interesting topic and very unusual because it's a worldwide phenomenon, meaning Spiritism actually started with a Frenchman, Allan Kardec, and he lived in the middle part of the 19th century and actually wrote his books, one the most popular of which is the Spirit's Book and then the Medium's Book. He wrote them after he had been to many seances and had interviewed hundreds of mediums, asking them all questions and then collating their answers. And the answers that were repeated by various mediums that didn't know each other seemed to him to be more what he called universal answers. Then he collated the questions and the universal answers and laid them down in an organized fashion, and that's what became the Spirit's Book and the Medium's Book. And so those books were actually brought back to Brazil by students of wealthy families who had been sent to the Sorbonne and other universities in Paris. So they brought Spiritism back to Brazil, and then it grew there, meaning the principles of life that were laid down by Kardec took root there, and centers, which we now call Spiritist centers, grew out of these principles.
And what year was that happened, Dr. Bragdon?
Well, Spiritism really started taking hold in the 1890s, and there were homeopaths that had come over from Switzerland to Brazil to help people, and there were many, many poor people, of course, at that time in the 1870s, 1880s, and the homeopaths were working with the same kind of medications that we're familiar with, that the homeopaths use, and also had a sense of the subtle dimensions of life. And so they started Spiritism to their patients, and then the Spiritist centers grew out of the homeopath's work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what year did Kardec originally write his manuscript?
Around 1860.
I see.
Yeah. But there were several books that he wrote, but the Spiritist book was written, I think it's 1856 or 57.
So this has been going on for some time there.
Oh, that's one of the reasons I think it's so fascinating, is because these are community healing centers where people can go to get, you know, what we might call Reiki treatments.
Uh-huh.
But they can get Reiki treatments. They can also, if they need to get food or clothing, they will be gifted that, as well as gifted with being able to see a homeopath for free or get financial help for a period of time, but also get free dental work, free legal advice if they need it. I mean, it's a little welfare system in itself.
Now, does that
but
go
on the other hand, they also are teaching people how to develop their psychic abilities.
Really?
And also their abilities to do healing.
Now, does that go on at John's Casa, or is that at the other?
Well, that's generally available at most Spiritist centers, but most Spiritist centers do not have someone like John of God, someone as powerful in the way that John of God is powerful. So most Spiritist centers actually are teaching groups of people to do spiritual healing, and so they work as a group of, let's say, 3 to 5 people working on one person at a time who needs healing. But John of God is such an unusual and unique healer. He has created a very unique kind of center where people come basically to see him, and then he has the support of many, many mediums who come to basically assist him to keep his energy stable while he's doing the healing.
That's what they're holding the current.
Yes.
Yeah. And how many mediums are there usually in the room to hold the current that supports his energy?
Well, there are 3 current rooms there. And on any given day, there are about 100 people who are familiar with the work, and then there are other visitors who come in who sit in current. some of whom have never been there before, but they're also lending their energy to support the work that's being done. So by the end of the day, you know, including the people who are coming for the first time, there may be 200 or 300 people, or
yeah,
even more, sitting in current.
Do you have to be a channel to do spiritist healing?
Well, if you're actually going to be a spiritist healer, there are, I mean, depending on if you follow the rules that have been laid down by the spiritists that are part of the Federation of Brazilian Spiritists, then they ask you to do it in a certain way. But there are independent spiritist centers that do not subscribe to those particular rules and have explored other ways of doing the healing. But generally speaking, people do not do physical surgery like John of God does. He's unique in that. There are hardly any other people in Brazil who are doing that way. So it's a kind of spiritual healing where you don't touch the physical body and you're transmitting energy through your hands. And your hands are about 6 inches away from the body. And you don't need to be a channeler in particular to do this.
Is that the kind of
work
that...
You do need to be able to focus.
Is that the kind of...
So that your energy is focused in a way to be of help to someone else.
I see. Is that the kind of work that Mauricio, I've heard about the Brazilian healer Mauricio, is that more like what he does?
I'm not familiar with Mauricio.
Really?
I can't tell you. Yeah.
Well, how do we know that there aren't negatively motivated spirits involved in spiritism? I mean, that's a question that comes up, I'm sure, for people over and over again. There are so many people that hear about John of God, that's the first thing they ask. Well, how do we know that he's not of the devil? Or, you know, how do we know he's not working with dark spirits? How does one know that in fact what he's doing has a pure source?
Well, if there are hundreds of people who come to see him, and there are many, many people, some say millions, who have been healed by him. And why, if he's really associating with negative or dark energies, why are people having healing? And why are people still drawn to him to have healing? I think that's very important to question to ask. The other thing is, he's been completely dedicated to this work since the age of 16, such that all day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at the casa, he works from the morning until the last person is seen. And then frequently, he'll leave and he'll go fly to the south of Brazil, where he'll go into a place that we would call a stadium full of people, and he will again do the same thing. He'll see everyone until the last person is seen for Saturday and Sunday, sometimes Monday. He has maybe one day free a week.
So he's doing this healing, and he sees, what, 1,000 to 2,000 people every day when he's healing, isn't that right?
Well, I've heard that in the 90s he was seeing that number of people every day. At the casa these days, 500, 600 people is more typical. But when he goes out, let's say, to the south of Brazil and is there in what is like a stadium, he will see that many people. And I gather in Atlanta they're expecting 1,500 to 2,000 people.
We forgot to mention that John of God will be in Atlanta April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and he will be doing his healing, but as I understand it, he will not be doing the external surgeries, but only the invisible surgeries. Is that right?
That's right. But the invisible surgery, what I like to call etheric surgery, is really the basis of all the work that he does. And because we're so oriented towards physical matter, we think, well, you know, physical surgery must be much more powerful than the invisible surgery because you can't see anything happening in invisible surgery. But really, the whole power of what he's doing is energetic surgery. And he's literally working on the energy body, the place where the seeds of illness are located.
Well, you've done a lot of research and talked to various allopathic doctors about what John of God is doing. You explain that in your books that I would recommend highly to my listeners. The name of Dr. Bracken's book are Spiritual Alliances and Kardec's Spiritism. Could you explain, you know, what are some of the reactions that you hear from doctors when they come down? I'm sure there's some doctors that might that make it down to Brazil, are there not?
Oh, there are actually more and more doctors who are going down there, some of whom have been already interviewed on network TV and speak about their experiences. And most of them are, if they want to, can come up and be next to John of God while he's doing his surgeries and observe very closely. So I have spoken with doctors who are skeptical, and I've spoken with doctors who are coming down there because they want to learn about spiritual healing and feel that it offers something, but they're not quite sure what. And all of the doctors I've spoken with have said that they've had profound experiences of a spiritual nature there that have opened up new doors for them in terms of the way they perceive healing, the way they think about healing, and how they want to do their work when they return home.
I think the listeners probably don't understand that when John does his healing, that it's just a physical healing, and that he's doing this to bring people closer to God, and that he does a very deep emotional and spiritual healing along with the physical healing, doesn't he?
Well, I would say that the most important thing that goes on at the casa is that spiritual healing. And perhaps the most important thing that goes on in all our lives is a healing of the spirit. In other words, becoming more whole and growing our capacity to be at one with ourselves and at one with God in ourselves.
Well, he encourages people, to be more forgiving and to purify their lives. I mean, that's part of the whole visit down to the casa, isn't it?
Yes, and it's also an extremely important part of healing, because the Spiritist tradition believes that many illnesses can be traced back to experiences that we've had either in this lifetime or in past lives. And I'm not certainly not going to say that everyone who is sick has done something terrible in a past life and is therefore atoning for it, because that's really unfair to take that position. But certainly illness is a wake-up call, and it brings people face-to-face with their mortality and brings people a person face-to-face with what is it that gives their life meaning, and what do they consider the most important thing about life. And what I've seen over and over again is that as people face their illness, they also reevaluate their lives and decide that love is actually one of the highest priority in their lives. And as they go deeper into their capacity to love, they also go deeper into their own spirituality. So,
well,
we should call that a passage of spiritual healing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that I think he epitomizes the whole concept of holistic healing and the mind-body-spirit connection. He, more than anybody, I suppose, that I've ever heard about, he does that. Let me ask you this. How important is it to have faith to do this work? I mean, I've interviewed myself a couple people who've been down to the casa that were very skeptical, and they didn't seem to come away with much. It was like they weren't open, or they didn't have the proper feeling of gratitude, or how would you determine that?
How would I determine? Would you ask
In other words, it seems to me that the people that go down there have to be open and ready to have the healing experience. Because I know a couple gentlemen that went down, that were very skeptical and just sort of made fun of the whole process and didn't really seem to, they didn't have a heart of gratitude about having the opportunity to have a healing. Mm. And when they came back, they said they felt something, but I didn't feel like that they had taken full advantage of what was there because mm-hmm. they were blocking it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious if, you know, if you see that a lot or if, you know, if you agree that it does take a certain amount of faith in belief to receive the kinds of healings that people receive.
You know, I think what it takes actually is a person willing to be receptive. And frequently when someone is highly skeptical, their mind is full of thoughts. Can I trust this? Is this okay? What is this person possibly doing that may be pulling the wool over people's eyes? You know, they're looking for the negativity.
Right.
And their minds are full with possibly judgment and criticism. And unfortunately, we are entrapped in our own training here, so that we feel that the closer that we can get to the guy that's called the miracle man, then the more healing we'll get. And it's all about him giving us the magic. Just in the same way, you know, if we get ill, we look up to see where can we find the best specialist who knows the most about our particular condition, thinking that that particular person is going to heal us. So if we transfer that way of being down to Brazil, then we go down to Brazil and we say, well, I need to be around John of God all the time, all the time. So we're constantly asking him to say something to us that we find meaningful, rather than do what he asks us to do when he says, go do your work, which means sit in the current room, pray for other people, and also keep your palms facing up in an attitude of receptivity, being willing to receive what the spirits and what our own spirit guides are willing to tell us and willing to give us.
So there is a degree of willingness in order to maximize your healing.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I think going down to the casa with a guide can be extremely important, because the people who are have been invited to be guides down there can really assist people to detach from the training that we've all gotten to not to be receptive and
yeah.
to be in current, in the current room, and to receive what can be given there. And a lot of people who go down by themselves with somewhat of a program of this guy's got to be a hoax meet exactly what's in their mind, and they don't give themselves the opportunity to experience something that they don't know might in fact give them a tremendous amount.
So you don't have to have a specific religious belief in order to receive the healing.
Absolutely not. In fact, in the assembly room where people gather in the morning, there are paintings and poems from religions from all around the world. Everyone is welcome there.
That's wonderful. What would be the next step towards getting these kinds of centers open in the United States? And do you think that there's a possibility that that could even happen?
Well, there are spiritist centers in the United States, but most of them are oriented towards the Portuguese-speaking community, but there are some that are also available for English-speaking people, and the Brazilian community is actually wanting to encourage English-speaking people to come and participate in the activities. They're very charitable and giving, generous people. And spiritism is really a way of life that has to do with community and fraternity and strengthening that fraternity, which means gathering together and appreciating the spiritual aspect of each person and assisting in spiritual healing when that's possible.
Well, how would one find out about the spiritist groups here in America? And how many, I mean, are there a great number? Or are they... Are they very common in large cities, or?
Well, they're most common in cities where there are many Brazilians. For instance, Boston, New York, Miami have several spiritist centers. There are also quite a few in New Jersey around New York, and in the larger cities in Florida.
I know there is one in Brazil. I mean, in Atlanta. Excuse me. I went there actually for a session last Saturday. It was very interesting. And I think they practice the method of Mauricio, the spiritist healer that I mentioned earlier.
I see.
Well, and the thing that that I keep hearing repeated from the people that I've met, I haven't had the privilege of being down in Brazil yet, but the people that I've talked to that have been down there, they say that it's not just the healing that's taking place by John himself, but the loving atmosphere that is displayed by the people who work there, who come there, that it's just the most supportive, loving family environment.
It is. It's extraordinary that way, and it's positive, so that people. What comes to mind is actually a man and his wife who had a little girl who was extremely ill, and she'd had several cancer surgeries by the time she was 2 years old. And they had been spending most of their time in hospitals, you know, and they came down there and they said, everybody's so positive and everyone's smiling, even though many of them are ill, and we can sit down with anyone and talk easily. When they came back to Canada with their home, with their child, their minister came to visit them and walked in, and he started crying. And they said, what is it? And he said, I've never before experienced the presence of God so strongly as I do in your home right now.
Wow.
And I think that says a lot for what people get at the casa. They truly, if they're open to it and they're willing to receive, you know, what is there, they experience a great deal of love and gratitude for life and ease of connection with other people. And many people have very powerful experiences of the presence of God or the presence of benevolent spirits.
Would you say that that's probably the most important thing that you've taken away from your experiences with John of God, that loving feeling?
Certainly that loving feeling is extremely important, and it certainly inspires me to go back for more and to bring people who are looking for healing to that place. But I would say the most important thing that's gone on in my own being as a result of my time there has been to say that really this life is about spiritual evolution. It's not about preserving the body as long as we can preserve it. And that's a very different way of looking at life. Most Americans and probably people in most of the developed countries have been conditioned to believe the most important thing to do in life is to preserve your life and live as long as you can.
That's
which is
true.
Actually a very materialistic point of view.
Absolutely.
And maybe we're really here to grow on a spiritual sense and to use all of our experiences here as grist for that mill.
Well, that's what the Vedas teach, you know, that we're here just to elevating our soul and purifying our soul in every lifetime and every opportunity that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole materialistic viewpoint that we have in America is just the total antithesis of that. But Emma, I think we're about to run out of time, but was there any other comment or thing that you wanted to make about John that really has touched you so deeply?
His dedication to his mission is extraordinary. And every day, at least once, he will repeat the phrase saying, it's not I, but God that's doing this work. He doesn't associate himself as being a spiritist or Catholic or anything else. He says really his dedication is to God. He was given his mission by God, and he wants to perform his mission as long as he can. He hopes it'll be for 100 years or more.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, I just thank you and bless you for spending this time with us and talking about John of God. And I just hope all of us can have the opportunity to touch such a wondrous being. And I hope we get to talk again soon. And good night, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lexi, for this opportunity. Good night.
Good night. This is Lexi Ross for Health Frontiers, and we'll be seeing you again next week at 7 o'clock.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.